AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
What is wrong with you? What is the matter with you?
What
do you mean? Your glass is going to be half empty. What were you talking about?
Well, because, you know, it's a big moment, big shot. Lakers win, go up 2-0, and I thought you were going to find a reason to poo-poo it and to be mad.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, no. That's what I thought, Fred. Thought you were going to, you know, like, yeah, but one of those guys.
No, there's no yeah, but. And for any number of reasons, that moment has elevated now the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals. Denver was able to come back in that game and do what they had done in the past. But the dagger was delivered by Anthony Davis. And I think it's only two games, and we both had the Lakers winning ahead of time, but that just drove the stake into the Nuggets' heart.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Clock struck 12 on the Nuggets. There.
That's it. That was the moment in time. And in life, we have defining moments. Some people are fortunate. They have a few of them. You don't get a lot of them.
Right.
You get a few of them. Some people get one. Anthony Davis had a defining moment in his basketball career last night. A defining moment. Let's think about this now, Rodney. Anthony Davis was someone, and I think generally accepted, struggled late in the game. Struggled in the fourth quarter. Going into the bubble, that's what we knew. At the beginning of the bubble, that's what we heard.
We talked about it.
Couldn't,
talked about it. Everybody talked about it.
Couldn't close. Just couldn't close. Maybe he didn't have that dog in him. Maybe he didn't have the heart. Maybe the stage was too big for him. He was in witness protection in New Orleans. But last night, it's funny. 2 seconds of your life can define you as a player. And I believe that was the defining moment of Anthony Davis's basketball life.
Yeah, and I think, Fred, more than that, more than the shot obviously was huge, but more than the shot, if you remember, LeBron went cold in the fourth quarter. He was the guy hit about 8 shots down the stretch that kept them in that game because Denver was coming. Denver was coming like they always do, like they did the two previous series. They were coming. They eventually, as you said, took the lead. But to keep the Lakers going, every time they got close, Anthony Davis hit a bucket, hit a mid-range, hit this and hit that, hit free throws. He kept them in the game in the fourth quarter to allow that shot to happen for the win. Because it hadn't been for him along the way in those last 3-4 minutes of that game to keep them in it. I don't know if that shot means anything at the end.
And he wanted the ball. He scored the last 10 points.
Yeah.
He wanted the ball. And the talk was he didn't want the ball late in the game. He wanted the ball when it counted. That's why the Lakers will beat Denver. And that's why they're going to win the NBA championship. It's weird. He's a professional athlete, an NBA player that makes an enormous amount of money and will make even more. He's already had success at his profession. But it's like in that moment last night, Anthony Davis, before everyone's eyes in Los Angeles, grew up. Now he's ready. And he proved it with that shot.
And it, sometimes it just takes a moment, moments like this, for everybody to see on the biggest stage. You know, I argued you down on, this fourth quarter thing. And it just sometimes it's by happenstance. It's just by coincidence a lot of times. And you know, so people will take that and run with that. Even the guys that former players would say something, you know, oh, he doesn't have that killer instinct. He's not Kobe. He's not MJ. He doesn't want it in the fourth quarter. When I don't think that's the case. I think it's just something. Sometimes ball didn't fall, or he didn't get the minutes, or he didn't get the opportunity. Somebody else was hot. A lot of those things. But in this situation where he was absolutely needed, because if it's not for Anthony Davis, they don't win that game. In a lot of different ways, including down the stretch. Like you said, scored the last 10, 10 points of the game, including the game winner. But I agree with you. There are defining moments with with athletes all the time, people in general in life. But with Anthony Davis, his defining moment up until then probably was Kentucky winning a national title, right? Even though he was in New Orleans, they went to it was Kentucky winning a national title on the big stage where he delivered. Last night was that moment. And I keep now that because I didn't know where you were going with this, but when you mentioned that, had that been in Staples Center, it would have been so much greater because people would have been in the streets loving it, living it today.
And he said afterwards, in essence, he was channeling Kobe. Kobe was in him when he said Kobe afterwards.
Yeah. They were wearing the Kobe jerseys. They couldn't lose. He said that, we got the Mamba jerseys on. We didn't want to let him down. And you felt that moment, it was like, okay, something's going on here.
Exactly.
Because Denver, I mean, that is their MO, right? They get down. They're never down. They're never out of a game. And they've always come back, take the lead. They take the steam out of whoever's leading because they gave up that lead. What happened to the Clippers? The Clippers couldn't recover once Denver came back on them. And they came back and took the lead on the Lakers twice, right? They came back and took it twice, and the Lakers regained the lead back twice in that last minute. So, yeah, I think that was the heart of the Lakers, number one. And don't you just feel like they are genuinely playing as a team, playing for each other? Something special is going on. The way they – and it's genuine. It's not a false enthusiasm when they're jumping over Caruso and they're jumping up when Danny Green hits a shot or even with the AD situation. It's a genuine love that they have, chemistry that they have with each other. And we touched on it early in the season, how they came together so fast under Frank Vogel. But I think there's something about this team that just got accelerated, really. And I don't like to throw around the destiny part of it because we got to see it play out. But certainly when he said that channel, I think that is on their mind. The Kobe Bryant situation is on every one of those players' minds every time they go out to play.
Big shots in Laker history. Okay, well, we always look at things from where we're at this very moment, a prisoner of the moment. So that was a huge shot, huge shot. But Kevin, as somebody that has watched the Lakers since, conception, where would you...
Brad, you've covered them longer than I've been alive, by the way.
Yeah, you have.
Just want to point that out.
So sad. It's so incredibly sad. But where would you rank that shot?
Well, it's interesting. It's pretty high up there right now. But for me, the shot, you have to put it into context because we don't know what's going to happen after this. Right. And a perfect example for me, Robert Horry's shot against the Sacramento Kings in Game 5 in 2002 was humongous. But it was humongous because they ended up winning the championship that year. Derek Fisher's .4 shot against San Antonio was great, and that was humongous too. Meant a little bit less because they ended up getting destroyed by Detroit in the finals later that year. So it's a great moment in this moment in time. We have to give pause before we say where it ranks in Laker playoff history in terms of big shots.
But he certainly has entered Laker lore.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
That shot will never, ever be forgotten if you're a Laker fan.
Not at all. Not at all. But, well, I don't want to be...
But like you said, Kevin, they got to go finish the deal.
Right.
Otherwise, it kind of gets buried a little bit into just a regular season game winner or a playoff game winner. I think back to, the magic hook shot in Boston. That it's in the finals.
Yep.
And they ended up winning it, right? It was a defining moment for him and for the Lakers. So to me, and this is just the Western Conference Finals, had that obviously is bigger if it's in the finals and he makes that shot and they go on and win it. But I think you're right. As far as shots go, game winners go, it's huge. But to put it in perspective, they got to go close the deal, and it's not necessarily in the finals. I don't put it ahead of Magic's hook shot.
It's bigger for me because of what you mentioned earlier, Fred, because of Anthony Davis's. And Rodney, I know you've underplayed it a little bit, but his fourth quarter woes, and his percentages haven't been that great. His percentage was excellent last night. He made a couple of big shots down the stretch and then ended up making the biggest one. And I think that opens everyone's eyes to say, hey, LeBron doesn't have to be the guy every single solitary time. AD was willing to take that shot. He took it, and he made it. So if anything else, it gives him confidence, whether he was lacking in it or not, only he knows that. But at the very least, we know they can go to him down the stretch and they can trust him to make big shots when it matters.
And you know what? And on top of that, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't at the rim. It wasn't a mid-range. It was a three that he hit. It didn't need it, but he hit a three to win it at 6'10", 6'11". I mean, that type of game that he has that can go inside and outside, I think that's why people go, this guy is the should be the best player on the court every time he steps out, and they want to see that every time. But that was a big shot for him. That his game, being able to shoot a three to win the game, was huge.
Well, you know who else can shoot a three to win the game? A guy that big is Kevin Durant, of course, when he's healthy. Yeah. Here's the difference between Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can hit a three, but plays like a big man. Kevin Durant actually plays like a guard. And there's a difference. I mean, I'd much rather take Anthony Davis inside than Kevin Durant. So the only thing Anthony Davis cannot do that would be comparable to Kevin Durant, I believe, is handle the ball. Otherwise, I would take AD.
Well, KD is
He doesn't shoot the ball as well as Kevin Durant.
KD's one of the best shooters in the history of the sport.
Last night, is it not safe to say when he knocked down that three, he can shoot the ball from there? And maybe that gives him the confidence. I mean, he was very confident when he shot that ball.
But just because he can do it, you would trust Kevin Durant to shoot 9 threes in a game. You don't want Anthony Davis doing that, because chances are the more opportunities he has to do that, the lesser his percentages will be. Whereas Kevin Durant, he can light you up from the outside every single solitary night.
But after,
I don't even think it's not even close.
But after last night, you wouldn't trust him. What if he comes out in the next game and starts firing threes and they fall?
That's not his game, though, Fred. Right, his game is to take you out there. Yeah, he takes you out there, so you got to go play him out there. But his game is not to give you a steady diet of shooting threes. Whereas Kevin Durant, you better get up on it. You better play him. And then on top of that, Kevin Durant go by you too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
And if you put a little guy, Kevin Durant gets you on the block and just turn around and shoot over you. That is the difficult part of guarding Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers in this history of NBA. So, I mean, as great a shot as that was for Anthony Davis, and it was a three, shooting-wise, there's no comparison between AD and Kevin Durant in terms of shooting threes.
Yeah, you're right, Rodney. I'll tell you this, Fred. So if there were five opportunities and the Nuggets said five times you would give Anthony Davis the opportunity to shoot that shot, they'd say, we probably take that 5 out of 5. That's just not a high efficient shot. He can make it every now and then, but it's not an efficient shot for Anthony Davis. If they said Anthony Davis has a shot to win the game with a three-pointer in the left corner, which he actually struggles on that side of the court more than any other side of the court, Mike Malone would probably say, we'll take that 9 times out of 10.
Okay, so what you're saying is maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
Slightly.
Maybe I'm a little too excited. A little bit.
Don't be a prisoner of the moment, Fred.
Right.
I'm a prisoner of reality. My reality is, let him shoot now. I loved it. I thought it was just such an incredible moment. Kobe aspect. Him overcoming the fourth quarter woes. Closing the game out. Emerging on that stage. Being able to fight off a team that has done what they tried to do to the Lakers, to everybody else in this bubble on numerous times. What a great moment in Laker history. And really, what a great moment for Anthony Davis's basketball career.
Yeah.
And Laker fans should be completely out of their minds after seeing that.
After this game, can we say that the Lakers don't necessarily need that definitive third guy? Because we're seeing from Caruso, that's great. I think he's emerged as a star now. And not so much scoring, but I think his disruptiveness, his defense has been key for them. The dunk that he had that everybody went crazy about, I loved it. I think KCP has stepped up his game. Even Kuzma, you know, not necessarily on the scoring side, but the defensive side, I think he's done well. And I thought Dwight Howard did his job yesterday. Until the end, he got a little frustrated, but I think he did his job for most of the game on the Joker.
Okay, so you're saying maybe they don't need a definitive third guy.
Yeah.
I'm saying probably wouldn't hurt. Laker insider Bill Orem jumps on here in the next segment. We cannot discuss what happened last night enough. Although, Kevin, I'll say this. You talk about Robert Horry. I think for continuous big shots in a series, Robert Horry wins that.
Oh, without a question.
Hands down.
Yes.
Can't argue that.
Hands down. Okay, bottom of the hour, we'll play a little Who Dis. Bill Oram's next.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570, LA Sports.
You know what I'm saying? Keep acting like I ain't been seeing me shoot that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Rodney Peace, Fred Rogan. On a Monday, we hope your weekend was well. Especially after that big shot by AD.
Absolutely. Okay, let's bring our Laker insider, Rodney, Bill Orem. And Bill, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Fred. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. All right, where do you put that shot in Laker lore?
You know, it's up there. I mean, listen, I mean, you know, I in my story today, I said it kind of belongs on the same ledger as Robert Horry's shot against the Kings and Derek Fisher against the Spurs in 04, his 0.4-second shot. I mean, the one difference would be that this series, even if the Lakers lose game two, would still be the Lakers to take the distance. I mean, obviously they were going to be favored even if it was 1-1. But, I mean, when you kind of factor in everything else that goes with it, with – you know, the fact that it is this superstar his first year with the franchise, the Kobe jersey, the spirit of Kobe element. There's just a lot to unpack with that shot. And so, you know, kind of in this moment, I mean, to me, that's a huge, huge shot. Obviously, it will prove to be even more meaningful if the Lakers go on to win the championship. But it's there. It's in the big shots wing of the Lakers Hall of Fame forevermore. And that's the kind of thing last night as we're watching it unfold and talking to people post game, where I was sitting there trying to just remember to think of it in the historical context. I mean, this was a shot that will, you know, that people will talk about for decades with this organization, and it was happening in real time. It's kind of hard to put things in the historical context as they're happening, but that one sure will live on for a long time.
You know, Bill, you know us. I don't always agree with Fred, but he said something early on in the show talking about how big that shot was, but he felt a little sad that shot did not happen at Staples Center in front of 19,000 people. How do you feel about that? Because I tend to agree with him. I think it's as great as it was, and I know we are in 2020, we're in a bubble and all those things, but had that shot been at Staples with the full crowd, it would have meant that much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this Lakers playoff run has been so businesslike, where they've won games by double digits, or they've, you know, had wire-to-wire leads like they did in two straight games against the Rockets. There hasn't been a lot of drama. And so, you know, and then you're watching the Raptors and the Celtics and, you know, game-winning shots and these amazing finishes. The Lakers hadn't had those. And then all of a sudden last night, that was when I really felt it also, where it's like, you know, and especially for Anthony Davis, who hasn't really, you know, he's obviously been amazing this year, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, he's still getting to know the fan base and vice versa. I mean, he only has a few months of playing at Staples Center under his belt. I mean, I just can't imagine the love he would have felt from Staples Center if that shot had happened, you know, obviously in the Western Conference Finals with the eye on the 17th championship. It would have been an even more special moment. But I think part of what makes AD's shot so iconic in real time is that it did happen in the bubble, and it's so far the signature moment of the bubble from a Lakers standpoint. I mean, they now, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the rest of this series and potentially in the finals, but, you know, right now, if we were to fast forward 20 years, the moment from the bubble you would remember is Anthony Davis hitting that shot over the outstretched fingertips of Nikola Jokic. And so a signature moment for Anthony Davis, but also a signature moment for the Lakers in these very strange times.
You know, and I think, Bill, and acknowledging Anthony Davis is one of the top players in the game, for any number of reasons, I think that's probably the defining moment in his basketball life, right there. And proving he can do that on that stage, who knows what's next? I mean, that might just be the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that's kind of most exciting about it from a Lakers standpoint is, you know, this is LeBron James' team. There's really no disputing that LeBron is a you know, what the architect, the captain, you know, everything. I mean, none of this happens without LeBron. If LeBron doesn't come to LA, none of this happens, obviously. He's played at an MVP level. But, you know, there is sort of this gradual handing off of the torch, right? Where LeBron is the elder statesman, there's mentor mentee a little bit about how to be a superstar, how to be a top dog alpha. And LeBron, you know, we assume has a few more years at this level, but then you know, it will be Anthony Davis's team if everything goes according to plan. And, you know, last night I had to wonder, is AD accelerating that timeline with the way he's played in the postseason? He's been so tremendous in all three series, 37 in game one of this series. And it was really a quiet 37, if there is such a thing. And then obviously stepping up in the biggest moment. And one thing, Fred, I would go back to, and a bunch of guys talked about it last night, but I was thinking about it kind of toward the end of that game. That shot was so similar to the one that Anthony Davis missed right before the shutdown on March 11th, the Lakers' last game of the regular season against Brooklyn. Obviously, completely different stakes, far less meaningful game. But Anthony Davis had a shot from the exact same spot on the floor to beat Brooklyn, and he missed it. And he had to live with that for, you know, 4 months. He didn't take a shot in an NBA game for another 4+ months. And so, I mean, to have kind of the retribution of his teammate putting him in the position to shoot a game-winning three on an even bigger stage, much more critical stakes, go up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals instead of be tied 1-1, for him was huge. And like LeBron James said last night, it's not even just making the shot that matters. It's being the guy who not only is willing to take the shot confidently, but has the confidence in your teammates to knock down those shots. And so I think, you know, when you think about Anthony Davis 3, 4, 5 years from now, with the way he plays the game, his versatility defensively, his ability to just impose his will and dominate offensively. I mean, this does feel like the tip of the iceberg because he is, you know, right now in year one, very much the second fiddle, kind of player, and he plays at a much higher level than your average wingman. But on a LeBron James team, that's inevitable. And you know, you've got an all NBA center / power forward in Anthony Davis. He's still not the top guy, but I do think that may be changing, where it's maybe not that LeBron is number two, but this is very much a partnership at the top as opposed to a president vice president situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with that partnership at the top. I like that. And the narrative, Bill, about Anthony Davis fourth quarter, Anthony Davis doesn't do it. They don't win that game. I mean, it's big shot aside at the end, but they don't win that game if he doesn't keep them in it in the stretch when Denver's making that comeback. And actually go ahead. It's Anthony Davis scoring the last 10 points of that game, and some incredible moves, and really taking that game over for the Lakers to give them a shot to even be in a position for him to hit that three.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Lakers really didn't deserve to win that game last night. I mean, they were outplayed in the second half, and you know that's a game Denver should have won. The Lakers got three shots down one in the final 20 seconds. Denver gets a rebound. Or that shot doesn't get blocked out of bounds with 2 seconds left, and this is a completely different story. I mean, you know, you replay that exact same scenario, you're going to see Denver win that game a lot of times. And so, I mean, crushing for them. But Anthony Davis, you know, went head-to-head with Nikola Jokic. They're exchanging baskets back and forth in that final minute, four lead changes in the final 64 seconds. And I'll tell you what, LeBron James didn't play well in the second half. As good as he was in the first half, scoring 20 of the first 40 points, he was only 2 of 9 from the field with 4 turnovers in the second half. And he had that late giveaway right under the basket that led to that Jokic three that pulled Denver within one. So, I mean, you know, LeBron certainly, you know, was kind of the catalyst for that game in the first half, got the Lakers going when there wasn't much else happening offensively. But in the second half, when he struggled, Anthony Davis picked them up. And that's something that these two guys have talked about, is their ability to sort of read when one or the other might be settling into a different role, maybe more facilitating role, or you know, might not have it for whatever reason over a stretch of the game. They're really good at filling in those gaps for each other. And then, like Frank Vogel said last night, when they are both clicking, when they're both on, the Lakers are just unbeatable.
You know, you mentioned Denver, and if you replayed this game over and over, Denver would have won most of them. But I think also last night, when he hit that shot, because the Nuggets did what they do. They were behind, they came back, they took the lead. Mm-hmm. I think that shot probably took a little bit of their heart. That shot was kind of like a dagger, because they realized, oh my God, we can't do it to these guys. These guys can withstand that run. And I think that is probably the most devastating part of the loss for Denver, that they wake up and not go, oh, hey, we'll get them next time. I think they wake up and go, these guys can fight us off. These guys are pretty good.
Not a chance.
You know, the thing is, I mean, they were 1-1 in both those other series against Utah and the Clippers that they ended up losing, or coming back from the 3-1 deficit. So they at least had that early taste in those series of we could beat them. And they don't have that in this series because they did that kind of, like you said, trademark thing that they've done throughout the playoffs where they fell into a hole and then came storming back and put themselves in a position to win the game. But they don't have sort of that little validation that when we do everything right, you know, and make that comeback, that we're actually going to be able to get the result. So I think there is something there. Obviously, game three is a must-win for Denver. But I would agree that there's a big-time difference for the Denver Nuggets being down 2-0 as opposed to being in a 1-1 series. Even if the Lakers still would have been heavily favored up 1-1, you're giving Denver a little bit more juice because they've seen the result and they're able to sleep a little bit better because they've won. Now their backs are very much against the wall. But again, I think the Lakers would win this series. I think that a sweep is certainly in play now. But there is just this part of you that kind of tugs and says, do not sleep on Denver. Yeah. Do not sleep on this Denver team. They figured something out. They figured something out in game two to get Jokic going. You know, it's going to be a matter of adjustments going forward because, I mean, I wouldn't put it past this Denver team to find a way to win a couple of games and push to maybe six. But the Lakers are still going to the finals, guys.
All right. Bill, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it as always.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Okay, there he goes, our Laker insider, Bill Orme. All right, let's break it up a little bit. Let's play a little Who Dis.
Who Dis?
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
Who is this guy?
This is who I am.
Who is this guy?
Who Dis?
866-987-2570. First caller. Whoever calls, Kevin will pick it up. You're on the air. And we wish you the best of luck. You'll be playing against Ronnie and Rodney today. And you only have three more days to log on to am570lasports.com. Give you a chance to win a VIP experience to join Petros and Money at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this Monday, September 28th. Oh, Matt's going to go, so the whole gang will be out there. For complete details, go to am570lasports.com. Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
What are you talking about, Fred?
Playing it safe. Well, you know, Matt just wants to make sure everybody's safe out there. But he's going to go. He's going to be out there. Although I think he said on the air, nobody get too close to me. Petros told me that. Come on out, but don't get too close. So if you go out there, at least you'll get to see him. And that is, whenever I said it was.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's September 20th. Next week. Okay. Let's play a little Who Dis. David and Rancho Cucamonga, you there?
Yes, sir.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing? How you doing, Rodney? How you doing, Fred?
We're good, man. We're good on a Monday. Feeling good.
What'd you think of that
shot? Especially after that Laker win.
Yeah, what'd you think of that shot?
Man, to be honest, me and my wife were listening to it on the radio coming home from a party, and I think it was even more amazing listening to it on the radio.
Okay.
Wow.
The Word's Eye View. Gotcha. Let's
Word's
do this.
Word's Eye View.
Ronnie, you ready?
Happy Monday, guys. Let's go.
Let's go. I was the 15th overall pick in the 2013 NBA draft.
2013.
Yes.
What pick?
15.
Yes.
15.
No good!
Who is this guy?
I've made four All-Star teams and two All-NBA teams in my career.
Wow. Who is this guy?
Who you got, David?
I'm stumped.
No, I said I never heard of him.
Okay. Good. Next clue. This is
yes.
It. Everybody get your finger on the trigger, because this is it.
This is it?
Yeah. I won the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Giannis.
Giannis.
13, really?
Yep.
I guess so, yeah.
15th overall pick in 2013.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean. 2013, it seems like a lifetime ago.
How was this guy the 15th overall pick? 1
through
14.
Because he was Greek.
Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever was
they weren't sure about
14.
The Greek.
Yeah. That was good. Here we go. I was the NBA coach of the year in the year 2000.
Phil Jackson.
Nelson,
Greg
no!
Popovich.
How about new?
2000.
Yep. By the way, you know this guy, David.
Do I?
Yeah.
Frank Vogel.
No good.
I made one All-Star team as a player in 1988.
Doc Rivers.
Boom. Ronnie.
Ooh.
Doc Rivers.
He coached in 2000. Oh, it was Orlando?
Yes, he was with the Magic.
That's right.
Next clue.
Way back in the archives. Okay.
Hey, these are tough guys. You guys brought up the tough ones today.
Yeah. I was like 5 years old then.
Wait a minute. David, hold on.
Yes, sir.
These are tough. The first one was Giannis, the Greek freak. And the second one was Doc Rivers. They're not that tough today.
It's the clues, Fred. It's the clues.
I mean, okay. We're going all the way back to 2000. That's not before my time, but almost before my time.
All right. Well, you're going to get this one. I was the Pac-10 Freshman of the Year in football in 2010.
Who is this guy?
I was a second round pick of the Buffalo Bills in 2013.
Robert Woods.
Damn.
Robert Woods.
Okay. Bobby Trees.
You got the lead. Here's your next one. I am a 10-time MLB All-Star, and some think I'm 75 years old.
Derek Jeter.
And it is no good.
Mariano Rivera.
No, senor!
You should see the look Kevin gave me. I added a part to that clue. Oh.
Bartolo Colon?
No good!
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right.
Who is this guy?
Brewer Bonds.
How about new?
Next clue. I won 3 NL MVP awards and 2 World Series titles, and some think I'm 75 years old.
Wow.
2 World Series titles. 3 NL MVPs.
Who is this guy?
Next clue.
Madison Bumgarner.
And it is no
Matt
good.
Kemp.
Nelson, no!
Holmes.
How about new?
Next clue. Some think I am 75 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I passed Willie Mays for 5th place on the
Albert Pujols.
There you go, Rodney. Oh, Albert Pujols.
Damn it. I mean, damn it.
No, that's all right. You can say that. You were close, David.
Okay.
You were close. You're right there.
I was right there.
Nobody liked my some think I'm 75 years old clue. I thought I'd give it away immediately.
I should have guessed that. When Ronnie went Bartolo Colon, Albert Pujols should have been the next thing out of somebody's mouth, right?
Yeah. Next clue. I won 6 NBA titles in my career.
Six. Michael Jordan.
No good.
Robert Horry.
How about new?
And it is no good.
Dennis Rodman.
No, senor!
Next clue. I made, count them, 19 All-Star teams and won 6. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain.
Ooh.
Okay, so Rodney, you've wrapped it up.
Yeah, I did. I wrap it up on Mondays, Fred.
We got one more.
Get your week started off right.
Rodney had the cliff notes on him, man. That's nothing.
No, that only happened once.
That only happened one time. And I came clean.
He did.
I came clean.
Afterwards. Yeah, that's right. You want to do the last one or call it?
No, let's do the last one.
Do it?
Yeah.
All right. David, you might get this one.
Although I hope so. I didn't get on the board yet.
All right. I think you might, but I doubt it. Okay.
Wow.
Well, I just looked at who it is. I was the 2nd overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft.
2015.
NFL draft?
Yes.
2015?
Correct.
Who is this guy?
I was the Pac-12 player of the year and won the Heisman in 2014.
I'm not even going to guess. Marcus Mariota.
Robin. Okay.
Who is that guy?
Who is this guy?
I tried to delay my guess.
I know you did, but you couldn't help yourself.
Man.
You couldn't help yourself.
It was a quarterback. Had it not been a quarterback, I would have not guessed.
Okay. Hey, David, thanks for playing, man. And most importantly, we really appreciate you listening to the show every day. It means a lot to us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time, man. Go Lakers.
Be safe. Something happened this weekend. I don't think I can remember it happening. Besides that great Anthony Davis shot. Something happened this weekend. And you'll correct me if it's happened in the past, but we'll get to it next.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Today, Afternoon Delight is HMU by 7th Streeter. The 34-year-old Florida native released this song along with a music video last week as she has been putting the finishing touches on her upcoming album entitled Drunken Words and Sober Thoughts. When talking about the album in a recent interview, she said, the sound of the new project, Drunken Words and Sober Thoughts. Honestly, I like to call it sexy and ghetto. It's sexy, it's ghetto, it's country, and it's just hard. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is HMU. By 7th Street.
You know, Fred,
well,
I heard that, Fred, you know, back in the day, the ladies would call you sexy and ghetto.
Yes.
That was then.
Sexy and ghetto.
I'm going to raise the curtain a little bit.
Okay.
And I normally don't do this because Rodney every day looks forward to Afternoon Delight. But I did hear early, and the reason I did this, Rodney, I know when you found out it was this selection, you were very upset today. I know that you are a huge fan of 7th Streeter, and what you had requested was not what was selected. You wanted Sex on the Ceiling.
I did. I did, Fred. I was going to pull a U today and change up the song, and why didn't we go with that? And so I declined to even read it
right
today.
So that's why I did Afternoon Delight.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, what he wanted was Sex on the Ceiling, Kevin.
Well, maybe I rope that in next time. My apologies, Rodney. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Kevin.
No. All right.
It's all good.
Okay. I don't know if you find... Oh, by the way, Eric will be here next hour.
Why do you say it like that?
Oh, who knows what'll happen. Did somebody get him a microphone stand?
Yes. He received it this weekend. Yes, I got him a microphone stand. He received it this weekend. All is well.
Okay.
So it's not in his scissors and pin box.
No.
No, we don't need another repeat of last week where he was upset and he was getting carpal tunnel syndrome from holding the microphone. So then he put it in a pencil case. But he was like this because he was so far away from it. He didn't realize he had to lean into it.
He didn't want to hold it.
No. So then he put it down. Then it sounded like he was outside. But he's got it. Right?
He has it now. Yes.
Okay. I can't remember this happening. And if I'm wrong, one of you guys will correct me. Every week, and I've done it for a couple of years, Rodney, I always post what we call the weekend TV rankings. And we kind of started doing it when the Chargers came back to town, just to put things in perspective. I included the Emmys in this week because they were on last night at 5 and they replayed at 8 o'clock.
Shout out to my girl, Regina King.
There you go. Okay.
And Zendaya. Yeah. Okay. Both of them won.
We know that Charger game was spectacular yesterday. It really was a great game. Whether you like the Chargers or not, that was a great game. And they came up short. The rookie Justin Herbert played very well. We'll talk more about that later. That was a great game. The Rams looked really good against Philadelphia. And that was a 10 o'clock kick. Okay, so you get up. That'd be the first thing you'd put on if you're a Rams fan. So I always, and I look at the numbers. I don't give you the numbers because I'm not allowed to. But I get the ratings every day. So I look at them and I list them. I cannot remember this happening ever. The most watched event in Los Angeles yesterday on broadcast TV or cable for that matter. The most watched event was the Chargers and Chiefs. Now that spoke to, it was a great game. It was the 1 o'clock kick. Normally that game does not beat Sunday night football here in LA. Chargers most watched game yesterday. Number two, Lakers Nuggets. And they didn't miss by much. It was pretty close.
So Chargers, Chiefs beat Lakers, Nuggets.
Yeah, but not by much. Just a skosh. Number three, was Sunday Night Football. Seattle, New England. Uh-huh. That was number three. Number four, just by a tad bit, the combination of the Emmy run. We added them together. So it aired live, then they aired it again. So we added those two numbers together. Number six, that was number four, the Emmys. Number five was the Rams and Eagles. Rams and Eagles were number five in the market.
Right.
And number six in the market, Steelers, Broncos. And then if you want to go down a notch, Dodgers. But you go down, and then Angels. But you go down because, look, the Dodgers playing in Colorado on a Sunday, not going to beat the NFL. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's the first time I can remember that the Chargers had that kind of win. The Lakers, right below them, and the Rams were fifth in the market yesterday. I just found that really fascinating. And it also speaks to, look at it like this, what dominates in this city. The Charger game was a great game. I mean, it was terrific. It went into overtime. It was unfortunate they lost.
But really, you didn't know that was going to be a great game.
Right, you didn't know. But it started well, and the numbers built as it got more exciting. But what this really speaks to for me in this city, NBA numbers are down nationally. They're down. No way to sugarcoat it. No way to hide it. They're down nationally. Lakers rule supreme in this city. For them to be that close to an NFL game, just a skosh behind, Lakers rule. They are dominant in this city. And then, really, it would be the Dodgers. And then the NFL teams. I just found it really interesting that that's the way it played out. And the Lakers, I mean, you had NFL on against the Lakers. You had the Emmys on against the Lakers. And the Lakers still finished.
But no, are you saying that normally NBA doesn't even come close to NFL Sundays?
Yes.
So the fact that the Lakers came close to a Charger game speaks volumes to it.
Yeah, and the Lakers.
But shouldn't they have won, even if they, you know, because the Lakers and Nuggets are playing in the playoffs, Western Conference Finals, shouldn't that dominate the NFL or no?
No.
Still no.
The NFL dominates. NFL dominates.
It's also unprecedented because we've never been in this situation before. So
true.
We've never had a playoff game, an NBA playoff game going head-to-head against, you know, week two NFL like that.
Look, they scheduled the Laker game 7:30 Eastern.
Oh, they did it on purpose so as not
to
go
ahead. They moved it.
A jump start on Sunday Night Football. They did that on purpose.
And nationally, I'm sure the Sunday Night Football game won. But we're only talking about Los Angeles now. And
didn't they move Thursday? Didn't they move a game Thursday in the playoffs? The NBA did from last Thursday or something like that.
The NBA moved the Eastern Conference Final that was supposed to be tonight to Wednesday, so they gave them a couple extra days off. But that's probably on their own interest because they don't want to have to move an Eastern Conference Final game because Monday Night Football is on ESPN. So that was the game that was moved. But the NBA it's very strategically did that on purpose to get a jump start on Sunday Night Football. That's exactly why they did
What's interesting is that they moved the Eastern Conference Finals, and if now the Lakers sweep, that doesn't that add an extra day for the Lakers? If that series goes 6 or 7?
Yeah, because if they go back to the every other day format after that, you're right. It does.
Yeah.
Lakers getting a lot of rest in these playoffs, but they earn it. Yeah. They take care of business.
But that's three, I mean, the Rams and the Chargers and who else you say was in the top five?
So you had Chargers 1, Lakers 2, Seahawks, Patriots 3, the Emmys 4,
and the Rams 5.
Yeah. And normally Sunday Night Football does phenomenal regardless of who's playing.
Right. Sunday Night Football.
Even here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter who is playing, Sunday Night Football would win. Sunday Night Football normally would beat any of the local teams. Sunday Night Football is the number one show on television.
Do you think that is, I mean, it was all of that, right? It was a perfect storm for the Chargers. New stadium, opening up a new stadium, SoFi, even though the Rams already did it. And they're playing the Super Bowl champs and the Chiefs.
It helped.
But again, and we'll talk about this next segment, but nobody knew that Justin Herbert was going to make his first start until he ran out on the field.
Justin Herbert didn't know he was going to make his first start.
Talk about Matt Dillon. Stop playing. You're joking, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I ain't playing. Get in the game.
Yeah. Right. They yelling at me. They booing me. I'm not going out there. Justin Herbert really represented himself very well in that game, and that's going to cause a problem for Anthony Lynn. A problem he said he solved, but a problem nonetheless. Plus, the Rams looked really good in Philadelphia. You know, looking at them going in, you're thinking, will they make the playoffs? Well, they expanded the playoffs. That's good news. But now, with the injuries to the 49ers, Rams look pretty good. Eric Dickerson.
They look good, and we'll talk about this again, but they look good, or did Philadelphia look just, or are they just bad?
See, now you're the downer. Now you're drinking Haterade. You're drinking the Haterade now, not me.
I'm just saying.
My
Philadelphia does not look good. They do not look good.
No, you're right about that. That's fair. Okay, Eric Dickerson jumps on. Got his microphone stand. Got his microphone. We hope ED will be here next.